Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hits.
The quality of interaction between prisoners, their partners and children strengthened following a pilot project that was carried out in Mountjoy Prison. Now, the Reach Out programme involved families learning to communicate with a prison environment, which allowed prisoners to begin to parent from within the walls of the prison. I don't know how you parent from within the walls of a prison, but they did anyway. Described as an inside-out approach to parenting, it included specifically designed modules on child development, enhanced communication and weekly parent-based mentoring. Research of the Reach Out pilot project developed by Archways on behalf of Fusion CLP, which is the Community Prison Link, showed that such programmes help reduce reoffending, allegedly, breaking the cycle of intergenerational crime. And studies have shown and found that if prisoners lose contact with their children in the first 3 years of their sentence, re-engagement strategies with their children often prove unproductive. So the research has shown that in the absence of a strong family relationship upon release, deprives the prisoner of a loving anchor which can effectively prevent reoffending. And this is according to Fusion CLP manager Kathy Watts. Now, early and sustained contact, she says, between the prisoner and their children in the initial phase of a jail sentence is therefore vital. And the research carried out on a pilot project showed that families are often the main source of hope for people during incarceration and the main support upon release and the primary barrier to repeat offending. Dr. Sean MacDonald of Archways, who conducted the evaluation of the Reach Out programme, said there were higher degrees of personal awareness of the value of freedom to prisoners and their families, and equally the impact imprisonment had on their families as a result of deepening relationships. Now, that kind of got us talking in the office about, you know, what it's like for children to be brought to prison in order to visit a parent and whether you believe it's even a good idea. I mean, look, we've had emails in the past. We did have one there last year from a mother who said that her daughter was bringing her grandchild to visit her father in jail. Now, by the way, it can be visiting women in jail too, because as we know, there's about, you know, a few thousand women in the Douglas Centre as well. So it can be visiting women in jail too. But primarily we're talking about the majority of people in jail are men. And, you know, is it advisable to bring a prisoner? This mother who emailed us last year said she didn't agree with her daughter bringing her grandchild, who was only 4 or 5, to Mountjoy Prison to visit the father, that she believed it had about, it was traumatising because the child would have to be searched on the way in. Now, they try and do it, obviously, in an age-appropriate fashion. And of course, they, you know, they're very sensitive in the way they do it, but it has to be done. We've heard stories of people who bring young babies, 2-year-olds, say, in to visit dad or mam in prison, and the baby will have their nappy removed and searched just in case they're trying to bring in drugs or weapons or whatever it happens to be. And that has to be done. It is security and it does have to be done. Remember, of course, people are in jail for a reason, that generally they can be dangerous people. So do you think there's anything wrong with bringing a child? Let's take an age group, say a 5-year-old. Is there anything wrong with bringing a 5-year-old into, say, some of the more hardened prisons, Cork or Mountjoy Jail, for example? Mountjoy would be the, I suppose, the ugliest of prisons. Portlaoise should be pretty ugly looking as well. They're not very modern prisons. Some of the Arbour Hill and some of the other ones are not quite as bad looking. They're a bit more open looking. And a bit, well, I wouldn't say like hotels, but certainly some of them treat them like they're in hotels. But is there anything wrong with bringing a child into a prison like Mountjoy or Portlaoise? Or do you think that's inappropriate for them to be in that kind of environment? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Is it appropriate to bring a child? Do you believe to bring a child into prison? According to the prison service, it's a good idea. It's a good idea for the offender. It stops them reoffending. But what about the child? What about the impact that has on them to see their dad in jail? This grandmother last year who emailed us said she told her daughter she would be better off saying that dad has gone away to work. Or he's gone away on a holiday. He'll be back in a couple of years. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Send us a WhatsApp voicemail or a text or whatever you like and let us know, do you believe it's appropriate, say, to bring a 5-year-old into a jail like Mountjoy or Portlaoise? Let me know what you think. Let me go to James. James, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits. How are you doing, James?
Good afternoon, Al.
Good afternoon to you, James.
Good to talk to you again.
Good. Well, we're all still in the land of the living. That's yes, all that matters.
Just about now.
Yeah.
For me, anyway.
Hanging in there, James.
One of these days you'll ring and there'll be no answer now.
Ah, James, don't say that. Don't say that to me. That would break my heart.
Or one of these days you'll be talking on the phone to me and you'll say, James, are you there? And then I'll be gone. I'll have collapsed on the floor or something.
Stop, James. Your number's up. Your time has come. James, you're
well, still... Every morning I get up now, and I thank the Lord when I see the light come in. When I say, oh, the Lord has given me another day.
James, you're not that old.
I feel it.
Okay, so James.
Yes.
I mean, look... Your old school thinking on this. I mean,
the word just old now.
the prisons, I suppose, I'm referring to would be the old Victorian style prisons like Mountjoy, Portlaoise, Cork. I mean, isn't it? Do you think it's advisable to bring a child in? What sort of effect would that have on a child, a 5 year old, in to visit daddy or mammy in jail?
Well, I suppose being a Christian, I'd have to have the Christian attitude that it probably is right that the father or mother would see their son or daughter and all. It is important. I know myself, for example, now, if I was back and I was a young lad, and thank God my father was never in prison, but if he was, I would want to see him now. I really would. I would miss him now.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. But what about the effects it's going to have on you to be brought into that environment? Because let's be clear about it. I mean, there's strict security around those kind of environments. You know, children are searched, as is everybody, by the way. And that's obvious for obvious reasons, because people bring in illicit drugs and all sorts of things, you know, in children's nappies yes. and clothes. So they have to be searched. I mean, is that the kind of environment you really want a child going in? And I'm not saying their father's a thug. Well, mind you, if he's in jail, he's obviously done something wrong. But you know, there's thugs in there and that undesirable people and bad language. And
yes, I know that. Yes,
I don't know what the right environment, is it?
Naturally, it's not an ideal situation, but not to be pessimistic, but he may have to do it maybe many times in his life now if his father would be a career criminal now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that still doesn't mean there shouldn't be a relationship between the father and his daughter, father and son, or as you say, maybe the mother.
Yeah.
And if the mother's in prison, it is kind of important now that the children see their dad. It really is. I think I would myself, if I was small again, I know myself well enough, I would want to see my father now. I would have missed him terribly if I wasn't allowed to see him for a year or 2 years.
Did you have a good relationship with your dad, James?
Well, you know, when you talk about your father, you will as be talking about my family now.
Oh, okay.
Your father was like a copycat of my father.
Right.
He's all the things like bad language, no bad language now.
Oh, yeah, no, my father wouldn't dare use bad language.
And anything inappropriate on RT, imagine how inappropriate on RT at night time now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, you don't want to see that. Go off to bed now, go on, off
yeah.
you go.
Yeah. Was he a good man?
Ah, he was. But he liked yourself,
was he
liked
tough?
Your own dad, a bit fond of the alcohol now.
Yeah.
And not the best in it.
Yeah.
And but that was the dead times were in it. But still, I was mad about him. I was now.
And was he a tough man, discipline-wise?
Oh, yes, very good disciplinarian. But he wouldn't belt you for no reason now.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd keep you in line. And he had to, because my mother was the complete opposite. My mother was very, very soft now.
Right.
So we'd blagged at her left, right and centre.
Right.
And the minute, of course, the key came in the door at 5 o'clock, the whole place turned into a monastery now.
Right.
There was silence immediately when he arrived.
Yeah.
But
so there was,
course,
there was a kind of healthy fear of him. Is
oh,
that what
yes,
you're saying?
Yes, yeah, indeed. Yeah. Healthy respect for him. But very intelligent man, very educated man.
Yeah.
And as I said, God Almighty. I remember actually when I was a small boy, two older brothers, they enjoyed tormenting me now as they do.
Mm.
And I was a small boy and he was going away on a fishing trip for a week. Because it was a part of his life he wasn't feeling really well. I don't know why now. Maybe it might have been a bit of a depression or something. And my mother encouraged him to go away for a week for his pals to go fishing, take a break from work. And the day he was leaving, my two brothers came in to me and they said, you know now, Dad is not coming back anymore.
Oh, God.
And I went, what? No, he's gone. No, he's not coming back anymore. Of course, I was about 6 at the time.
Kids are terrible, aren't they?
I nearly dropped dead and I had the shock of it.
I know.
And of course, they were only tormenting me now.
But James, I was awful. I did some... my brother, Arthur, who sadly passed away when he was 24, but I remember we were kids. He was 4 years younger than me. And God, I regret it to this day, but it was fun at the time. And we kind of laughed about it afterwards as well at the time. But I remember saying to him, we'd be going to bed. We slept in the same room, of course, and we were going to bed. And I'd say to him, you better get asleep. You know the story tomorrow morning. And he'd go, and my brother would go, what? What's the story? I said, the bus is coming for you. And he goes, what bus? I said, to bring you to Artane Boys School. Because that was the threat. At the time, my father would say, if we were bold, I'm sending you to Artane Boys School. Because, and it just goes to show you that every parent knew what was going on in Artane Boys School, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. They all knew what was going on, but it just allowed it to happen anyway because of the fear of the authority. But that, and my brother was going, I don't want to go to Artane. Well, you were bold today, he told me. He told me that the bus is coming to collect you. And I'd have my poor brother shitting himself. It was terrible.
Oh, children can be cruel now. Oh,
I know. But getting back to visiting children in prison, I understand the benefit for the prisoner, okay, to keep that bond and relationship with their child. And I have no doubt the research is probably true that if you keep that bond with the children, there's a lower possibility of you reoffending and wanting to go back.
That's a good point,
Nat. Yeah, okay, I get that. But have they looked into the damage that it can do to the child to normalise prison life?
Well, as I say, that's the important question as well now. But as you said, as you just said previously there now, it is important that he keeps that relationship. It might prevent him from wanting to go back now. If he sees his child coming in, he'll say, no, this is not, this, I don't want to be bringing my child back here again, you know. Mm. And but if he's left without seeing the child, he might say, what's the point? I'll just carry on the way I am. And
yeah.
So I think it probably the benefits would outweigh the disadvantages now.
Okay, we'll stay there for a second. Let me go to Breeda as well, if I can. Breeda, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, Breeda?
Hiya, Niall. How are you?
And before I start, can I just say condolences on your recent loss? I know you had recent loss.
Thanks, Niall. Very sorry
to hear that for you and all your family, all right?
Thank you.
Breeda, getting back to the topic, I mean, is it advisable to bring a child, we'll say even a five-year-old, you know, in to see mum or dad in jail?
No. And I'm sorry, James, you're a much nicer person than I am, because absolutely not. I think to put a child in that environment, I think would have so many psychological effects on the child down the road. I mean, imagine they're bringing a five-year-old in and they have to go through gates clanging shut behind them and having to be searched and maybe open their mouth to make sure there's nothing in it. And I'm sorry, if somebody breaks the law and they end up in prison, you have to take the consequences that come with it. And in my book, one of the consequences is you don't get to see your children. You should have taught your children before you did what you did.
There is an argument, you know, that I suppose for the child as well, as James said, he would want to have seen his father. You know, if his father had gone to jail, his father obviously didn't go to jail, but if he did, because he loved him so much. And there's also that argument that it normalises the outside life for the prisoner. And the whole idea of prison is to release people and have them not reoffend. And as James makes the point that, well, if they don't have a connection with their family, sure, they've nothing to lose. They might as well just commit more crimes.
How many of them that have done this on have not reoffended? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not giving you the percentages of what the actual figures are. So, like, is it a small percentage of people don't reoffend, or is it a large number? I still don't think I would let a five-year-old in to see a parent in jail. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they're getting near 12, I said that to Ruth. I said, they have a mind of their own and they have a good idea about what's going on. If they want to make a decision to go and see them then that's up to them, because at least they can analyse what's going on. But I think for a young mind, I just think it would be detrimental to put a child into a position like that.
It's a fair point, James, because I think we'll take a five-year-old, for example. They wouldn't have the maturity to understand why dad is behind bars and not allowed back out again. Whereas a 12-year-old might have some level of maturity to understand that he's done something wrong.
Yes.
You know, so that would be very disturbing for a child. Why can't daddy come with us? Why can't he come home with us now?
Yes, this lady is entitled to her opinion now, and she makes some very good points. But as I said, I can only picture myself again as a small boy. And if I was given the choice, even though, you know, you at 5 years have to make a choice, does adults have to make the choice for you? But if I was given the choice, I would still want to see him, Niall. Mm-hmm. I couldn't bear the idea of not seeing him for a whole year or 2 years.
And but James, I'm not sorry to interrupt you there, but at 5 years of age, if you're told daddy's gone away, after a while, and it's just a sad fact of life, kids forget about it. Where, you know, if there's one prominent person there in their life, if a parent dies, I've seen it happen to my cousin. She was 6 years of age. My poor godmother passed from breast cancer. She's no recollection of her in any make, shape or form. So, you know, I'm not being cruel when I say that, but like if they've got one constant person in their life and daddy's gone away somewhere, then after a while, daddy doesn't even exist anymore.
Well, I wouldn't consider that a good thing.
I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I'm just saying, to me, that would be the lesser of the two evils than dragging the child up every week to Mountjoy Prison to be searched and everything else to see Daddy, so Daddy can have 5 minutes of joy. When he shouldn't, if he thought anything of his kids and his family, he shouldn't be in there in the first place.
Well, as I say, if a father is in for 3 or 4 years now, mm-hmm. and if you're not going to see your child and say he's 5, 6 years old, and if you're not going to see him for 3 or 4 years, he's going to be 11 years. Those years are lost then now. And it's going to be difficult for the young fella to readjust if his father comes out.
But take on board what Breda was saying, that if you really cared about your children, there's an argument that you wouldn't have done something that would put you in a position where you would end up in jail in the first place. If you cared that much about the relationship with your children.
Yes, of course. I mean, that is a good point now. But one has to... No, sometimes, and I'm the last person to be easy on criminals. I'm not now, as a conservative, I'm a law and order man. But I'm always a bit worried when I hear children being deprived of seeing their parents. I just think it's sad now. It really is. I'd hate to be in prison myself and not be able to see one of my children. To be very, very difficult now.
And no, it would be difficult. There's no doubt it would be difficult. And Breda, I suppose there's a different attitude towards prison nowadays than there would have been, say, 100 years ago. 100 years ago, you were literally in a 6-foot concrete cell and, a bucket in the corner and bread and water. Whereas nowadays, we have a much more humane approach to prison. And in some of the Nordic countries, they're doing experiments where they put prisoners in these prisons that are essentially like hotels. They have Sky, they have pool tables, they have PlayStations. And one particular one is on an island where they sit out on deck chairs on the beach every day. Now, they've lost their liberty and their freedom, but they have a good life. And according to the Nordic countries, that if you treat a prisoner well, they're less likely to reoffend when they go back outside.
And yes, it's been...
Isn't that the purpose of prison?
But it is and it isn't. I mean, like, if there will be people that will go out and reoffend just to go back into a situation like that, because they'll probably have a better life behind bars than they have
out of
life. So, I'm all for people having the basics in life, but I think... There has to be a little bit of hardship if you've done something wrong and you end up behind bars.
Well, there is hardship. You've lost your liberty. That's hardship in an office.
Yeah, but apart from that, I think I just don't
Unless, of course, like you're a sex offender or something, then you deserve what you get, you know what
I mean? Oh, well, cut it off then.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, it depends. I suppose, look, it depends on the level of the crime as well. But I don't think life should be made easy for anyone that's broken the law and ends up in jail. I don't. I mean, I'm all for them, they have to have certain human rights and everything else. But I wouldn't be making life too cosy for them either. I wouldn't. Because why should they?
James, would you agree with that type of approach? Because there's this argument constantly whether prison is about retribution, whether it's about rehabilitation, punishment. What is the purpose of prison? It's not really about punishment. It's about keeping people who are dangerous to society away from society. And it's also about rehabilitation. That is the main purpose, allegedly, of prison. But unfortunately, we don't seem to achieve that very much.
Well, rehabilitation probably should be the aim then, because it's very expensive keeping them in prison anyway now.
85,000 a year.
It's better if we can get them rehabilitated. They won't come back. And I think letting them see their children would be one of those ways that might prevent them not wanting to come to go back there. I mean, we say, for example, a person goes into prison and their wife is pregnant now, and they may not see him for probably immediately now. Obviously, they're not going to be taking a child in that young, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to say to himself, look, I can't see my child. I don't want ever this happen to me again. I've heard prisoners saying that now. I've seen programs where prisoners have been interviewed and say, once I get out here, I never want to be away from my children again. That's the one thing they keep on, I hear them saying sometimes.
Okay, but James, it's all right saying that. And then they get out and then they get caught back up into the road life again. And then the real sense. So, it's one, I can say I don't want to do certain things. It doesn't mean I'm going to do it.
Yes, well, of course, that's true. Yes, of course, you're right there. But as I said, it really comes down to what the child would want. Would the child want to be kept away from their father if they knew, if they had the choice themselves? Would they want to be kept away from their dad, especially if they were fond of their father now? And no, I don't think they would now. And as I said, I can only speak for myself personally. Mm-hmm. I know if I was that young again, 5 or 6, and my father was had been taken away from me, I couldn't bear the idea that seeing him for 2 years, 3 years. It's been cruel now.
Okay, no, and I get that. Listen, I've got to go into a break. Thank you very much indeed, Breda, and thank you, James.
Thanks,
Al. All right. Okay, some of your audio, by the way, that's coming in on WhatsApp as well. I'll play one or two after the break. We'll just play this one before we go into the break. If I can, if it'll play for me then.
Absolutely no way is it right to bring a child into a prison. A young child would have no clue what's going on, and it would be, it's just not a nice place for to have children in. An older child would be traumatised, a lasting memory like that, very bad on their mental health. In my opinion, no, it's absolutely not a place to bring a child. If anyone belonging to you has been stupid enough to find themselves there, you know, just have to wait till they get out and start to rebuild relationships. Definitely not.
If you've got an opinion, send us a text or a WhatsApp right now on 087-188-0008. Some of the comments, by the way, coming in, definitely not. It's normalising a prison for a child. It says, personally, no, but then I'm not that. I'm not in prison. Speaking as a former child who visited a prison, that would be a big no, says somebody else. Okay, lots and lots of Facebook messages and texts and WhatsApps coming in. Let me go to Brendan. Brendan, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, Brendan?
I don't know. I was just listening to your programme there. No, I'm an ex-prisoner. I'm out of trouble. 25 years I was in prison once, and I didn't allow a visit up from my son. He was a young child at the time, because I didn't feel it was right. And then my experience was that when the other prisoners were getting visitors, that they'll come in bad humour. There could be uproar in the prison or fights and stuff like that, and lads saying cruel things about their spouse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So definitely... I definitely would say definitely no visitors at all for any prisoner. There should never be visits. For the lifers, yeah, give them one and went or something for a half an hour or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen prisoners that are on life sentences have visited roaring, crying like babies. I've seen the big men, so-called men, crying at night when the door closes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But what about this idea, according to the research, that it stops people from reoffending? Now, I know you didn't reoffend. You said you haven't been in trouble since. But by the way, can I ask you how long you were in jail for?
2 years. Well, okay. I got a sentence of 2 years. I was out after 11 months. 12
okay,
months.
So that wasn't too bad. That wasn't too bad, yeah. I suppose. Yeah. I mean, people can be in prison a lot longer than that. So obviously, whatever you did wasn't too serious.
Well, then, my deterrent then was looking at the fellas that were repeating, you know. Like the life was, did I want to be doing this for the remainder of my life? Am I going to turn my life around, or am I going to go back out on the sauce and, you know what I mean, get into trouble? So it was a decision, do you know what I mean? Like, for my son and then my wife, I said, it's not fair on them. And then I decided, yeah, do you know what? I'm going to stop. I'm going to turn my life around.
Mm-hmm. And fair play to you, by the way. Well done to you for doing that. And you and that's the purpose of prison, isn't it? To make you think about what you've done wrong so you won't do it again. But they say that family sometimes can be a reason for people to want to give up the life of crime. You know what I mean? And seeing family, and I'm only telling you what the research says, seeing family sometimes can give them the incentive to want to get out of there and not go back again.
But it could also be the incentive that they're enabling them, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first 10 grand, then they're going up the second time and they're setting up runners, clothes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All this stuff. And there's so many activities in the prison now today, you know what I mean? They have their television, they have their PlayStations, they have best of meals, cool.
You didn't have that when you were there, Ben? No.
No, we didn't. But, like, when we went to the toilet, we had to go on a pot in the corner of the cell. Sometimes the prison warden may leave you out, depending on what humour reason, if you have to go out to the toilet. If not, you go into a newspaper and throw it out the window.
All right. Slap out, slapping out, as they call it.
Yeah, but, you know, if you need to do a poo or anything during the night, they might answer the call, so you'd have to go into a newspaper and throw it out the window. And
that's
the reality of the way it was back in the 80s. You know what I mean? No, it's different to have the toilets. But that's just, you know, that's just the way it was. And, like, then I suppose when you look, like, I know lads that I would have been in prison, but that are still in and out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And they don't know any better.
And how old were you at the time, Brendan, if you don't mind me asking?
I was 22 or 23, I think.
And when you look back at that part of your life now and you could go back and talk to yourself, apart from giving yourself a slap and saying, wake up, what led you to that point in your life where you ended up in jail? I mean...
Well, to be truthful, some stuff happened to me when I was younger and I got on to drink and suppressing everything. And then the drink outgrew me and then I was... was doing wrong stuff for, okay, to get it. Do you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, I get you. I don't want to go into your personal
life. Yeah, that's all right. But, you know, and then, like I said, you know, you're better than this, man. You can do better than this, you know what I mean?
And when you've seen children coming in during visiting time, well, you wouldn't, because you weren't down at the visiting part because you didn't have visitors.
I was actually, because I was a trustee.
So okay. So when you've seen children coming in, you know, to the prison, again, it's probably changed a bit now since the time you were there. I mean, were the kids bored? Did they look like they wanted to be there?
They were crying, they were agitated, they were fidgety, they were screaming in the box, you know, because, like, you don't have, it's not like what you see in America, like, sitting down or on the TV, sitting down facing, you're behind the screen, you know what I mean?
Right, okay.
And you're talking over, and then there's another person next to you, and then he could have, we'd say, a wife and two or three children, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You're trying to converse them with the person that you're with, and you can't.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying? So it's like, personally speaking, for me, I don't think it helps. You know, that's just for me. I'm not saying it's for everybody else. But
well, I don't know what they do in this particular program, but if it was a case whereby the prisoner was allowed into, say, a room, a comfortable type of room, you know, and a wife could come in, say, you know, with the child, and they could have a hug, and they could have, you know, hold hands and talk to each other in private, you know, on an arranged visit. Do you think that would be beneficial?
Maybe, because they have their own space, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The child, and there could be little toys there for the child or something. But, you know, I don't know, they'd be falling against, like, people who send they're in there to be punished there. And prison is not an easy place, you know what I mean?
No, I know.
I don't care about their meals or their laptops or whatever they have now. But the benefits that I, you know, for me, when I was there, there was a gym, there was school, you know, you can go back, you can educate yourself. I've known a lot of lads that were in there and had a fitness instructors now that came out and turned their whole lives around, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's the purpose, isn't it? The whole purpose of prison is not just about punishment. It's about rehabilitation and making sure you don't go back in again.
Exactly. But I feel for myself. And it's not even the child. Like, when I came out, my little son knew me when I came out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And how old was your son when you were in jail?
He was two.
Okay. So two. When you came out, he was nearly four?
No, he was three.
Three.
He was
just two. Okay.
So it was about 11 months, 12 months. But yeah. It's just, you know, I feel sorry for the kids, you know what I mean? Like,
and did it break your heart to be away from him for a year? I'm sure it did.
Oh, I did, of course. Of course. And we was getting letters. No, we were writing to one another, which was helping enough for me, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
We were writing letters and stuff like that, and that was good.
Yeah.
And then, like, I can remember one time, it was out in the court, you know, between the two sets of gates, and there was a little child. He must have been 18 months, two, and I can remember the prison warden said, "Who owns that?" Pointed to the child, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the way they treat the people up there. Okay. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I was a witness. I said it to him, actually.
Yeah.
He told me if I didn't effort my own business, he'd put me on report, you know?
Yeah.
But I just thought it was disgusting, you know what I mean?
Well, I would like to think that a lot of that language or that attitude has probably changed, you know, since you've been in jail. I would like to think it has, because jail was a very different place when you were there, I suppose.
It's true, but, like, you know, when they have the authority, I mean, you have
of course,
a younger man saw and get this, you know what I mean? And, you know.
Well, look, thanks for sharing the story with us, Brendan, and I'm glad to see you turned your life around, and I'm glad everything has worked out for you now. So how's things now? All good now, yeah?
All good, thank God.
All right,
you know,
okay.
Happy enough for my life.
Yeah, if you could go back now, you give your younger self a slap in the face and tell you to wake up.
God bless you, thank you.
All right, see you, Brendan. Okay, let me go to Sarah as well. Sarah, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, Sarah?
Hello.
Hi, Sarah. Now, your father was in jail, or still is. Is he still in jail?
No, he's not.
Okay. But when you were 5 years of age?
Yeah.
And what was that like for you? Can you remember?
Yeah, Niall. Initially, I didn't say when he was sentenced, there's seven of us there. The first sentence that I can remember, now he had been in prison previous.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was born.
Yep.
So I was very close to my father. I went everywhere with my father.
Yeah.
And next of all, I remember sleeping in the bed with my mother and there was no father. So I kept looking for my father, asking my mother. And she was telling us he was gone working on the oil rigs.
Okay.
But I remember pining for him.
It's not a bad excuse, really, is it? It's not the worst of excuses that he's away working on the oil rigs.
No, but still, like...
Mm. Did you believe her? I know you were only five.
No, there was just, like, a kind of a, an eerie, dreary feeling in the house.
Like a void, yeah, like a void, yes. Something missing, yeah.
Yes, and no matter how young a child is, you'll still hear adults talking or, you just know that there's something not right.
Yeah.
So I live in Limerick. I knew what Limerick Prison was. It's in the city centre.
Yeah.
And one day then she collected me from school early and my brother, who was younger than me, was in the pram. I remember it. I can remember it like yesterday, her bringing me up, my mother,
yeah.
Bringing me and my younger brother into the prison. And I remember when I see my father, I could tell you what he'd on him. Like a pair of cards that time and a pinstripe shirt. And I was, just so delighted to see my father.
Yeah.
Do you know, but yeah.
And I know it's upsetting you even thinking about it now.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And do you, but the fact that you remember that day so vividly and you remember all the details of it, of course, it obviously had a very strong impression on you. And I don't know what you thought of the building itself and the security gates and the as somebody mentioned, the door of the gates closing behind you or the sound.
I can't remember any of that, like, daunting me, to be honest.
Okay. So you don't think it had a traumatic effect on you or anything like that?
No, okay. No. And my father's grandmother just lived up the road from, say, she lived in Garryowen, it is.
Okay.
The prison is on Mulgrave Street. That's the main street going to Garryowen. That's how we were so familiar with the prison when we'd be going to visit my grandmother.
Because you'd pass by it when you were going up to your dad's mother, yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
So, like, it wasn't so daunting because we were so familiar with the building. Don't know.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget how happy I was.
And did you go up and visit him often?
What?
Did you visit?
Yeah, we used to go once a week. Then that time there was visits every Tuesday and every Saturday. I can remember it.
Okay.
And my mother would bring us up, once a week. And she'd go on a visit herself. She'd kind of change around. As I said, like, there's seven of us, but there was only five.
So you had to take turns.
One of my uncles would come down and collect us out of school.
Yeah.
And we'd go up early for the, like, there was a 1 o'clock visit, I think, and a 3 o'clock visit. Yeah. But
and
no,
how long was he in jail for?
Well, I was about six that time, Niall, and it must have been a good little bit of a stretch because my communion photo is up against the wall. I had a backdrop. I had a Victorian backdrop when no one had it. My communion photo is up against Limerick Prison Wall.
Right. So you went up to see your dad on your communion, which would have been 7 or 8, yeah.
Yeah, and I can remember, and to this day I have it. I'd never leave it go. That Christmas, that first Christmas, he made me a big doll's house.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were coming off to visit, the screw caught my mother and handed it out. And I have it to this day. And that's, I'm 40 now.
So he made that. He made that in prison for you.
He made that in prison for me. Yeah, that was 34 years ago.
And is your dad still with us?
He is. Yeah.
Okay. And how is he now?
Oh, he's a very good man. Like, he is what you call a family man.
And do you think prison? Do you think prison? I suppose, did it make him a better man? In a sense that, you know, he came out because you were going in to see him and the family were going to see him and he had so many children, of course, and a big family, that he didn't want to go back in again because of that.
Well, he would have done a bit of jail after that sentence as well.
Mm, right.
But
so how many times did he go to jail?
A couple of times, yeah. He was in one of them schools and he was younger as well.
Okay. Oh, I get you. Yeah, I get you. So he had a troubled childhood.
Early teens. Yeah. He did, yeah. Okay. He did it. Apparently he was very wild as a youngster, like, but I can't, I couldn't.
As a father, he was a good man
as
to you.
As a father, he made sure we were all educated, that none of us, not there's seven of us there, none of us ever done a day in jail. We all go to work. We all have lovely homes. Like, even his grandchildren. You know, he's so good to us all, like, and and he never wanted any of us to ever have anything, like, he would deter you from criminality. Like, he was always at every, he was the one that went to every school meeting when he was there with us, you know, and brought us to school, collected us from school. He always wanted us to be educated, you know, and not
take.
And did you ever talk to him about why he chose a life of crime, or why he did that, or why he committed those crimes? I don't want to know what crimes he committed. But
he's a very private man. He wouldn't kind of. But to me, look, his mother and father separated. He was young.
Okay.
He was a wild young fella from what? I have a son of 18,
mm-hmm.
who's sitting, he's leaving cert, a very bright young fella. But apparently, he likes to look at him. Apparently, he's the very same as my father to look at him when my father was younger.
Right.
And if I met anyone that knows my father, like say the same age my father palled around with him when he was younger, they'd say, Jesus, he's the very same as your father, Johnny Burke. Your father was so mad or whatever, Joe, this kind of.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I get you. So getting back to the original point, do you think it's a good idea to bring children to see their...
I do, yeah. Yeah.
The mothers or fathers in jail.
Listen, you're doing your sentence. You're doing your... You're going to be keeping persecuted over and over again. You got your sentence. You're going in. You're going onto the landing. You're serving your sentence.
Yeah.
Do you know, all right, at the end of the day, is it your own prerogative? Like, from what I felt as a child, as I said, I was left in limbo. I was being told that my father was working on oil rigs when I knew well, even at that age, that my father wasn't working on oil rigs. And I was just pining to see my father.
Okay.
I do
get what you're saying.
And it just kind of, no matter if, like, as I
so
said...
So in other words, you're already getting your punishment. You're losing your liberty. You're in jail. Don't deprive the person of their children.
6 by 10.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? On a landing. Like, you're doing your whack for what you've done. Do you know, like, why shouldn't you see your kids as well? Or if your kids want to... Now, sometimes some of my sisters would be saying, Joe, I don't want to go up. They wouldn't want
to
go.
And that would be their prerogative, particularly if they're a bit older and they can make that choice. But listen, I'm running out of time and it's been really nice talking to you, Sarah. Give my regards to your dad and I'm happy that he's also obviously turned his life around and he's still out there. All right, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number's 087-188-0008. Sarah believes it's a good idea. They've already lost their privileges, they've lost their liberty, they're in jail. Why deprive them of their children as well? But would you bring a child to visit somebody in a jail? Catherine, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you, Catherine?
How you doing, Niall? How are you?
Now, your brother was in prison, but in the UK. And and your story is slightly different. The fact that you had to obviously watch your parents bring his daughter over to see him on a regular basis. So how did that work out?
Basically, my mum and dad worked their backsides off. And then each year, instead, like before that, we would have all gone on holidays down to Wexford and stuff like that. But then when he went inside, number one, my mum and dad didn't have a phone at the time, so they used to have to go across to the neighbour's house,
okay,
you know, to have any kind of communication with them. That's actually how they found out he was in prison. Our neighbour came across and...
Can I ask you how long he was in prison for, or how long did he get sentenced for?
It was a life prison sentence in the
pretty
UK.
Serious crime, so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And... he did turn his life around to a certain extent. Now, I have absolutely no contact with him. I could never forgive him for what he did to my parents because I saw, like, I was a real daddy's girl. I was saying it to the lady before, I spoke to beforehand. And, like, I could assimilate with that last lady that spoke because my dad was in the army and he would have been gone away, you know,
quite a lot, stretches. Yes.
Yeah. He went to Cyprus and the Congo, and I was too young for the Congo. But I do remember then him, like, doing the FCA training because it meant more money.
Mm-hmm.
I know I shouldn't say FCA. There's something else now.
Yeah.
I get killed.
Yeah.
But
he was a good man, and you were a daddy's girl, and this you believe this kind of consumed his time then.
Yeah, and it broke my father.
Yeah.
It actually broke my father. And I really think, like, from, you know, he used to be writing letters and he'd be putting money into them. And it meant my mum was working extra. Now, she lived to be a great age, thank God.
Yeah.
But, like, it took him early. He had a stroke and then another and another.
And you believe it was the stress of all the anxiety and everything? Yes,
absolutely. And it used to be heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking, to see the effects of them you know, when they would be getting ready to go, the stress that would build up in the house.
Yes.
And then when they would come back. And even his daughter, like, she was quite young at the time. I think they started bringing her over when she was only about four-ish.
Okay.
And, like, sadly, she has passed away as well.
My gosh, an awful lot of tragedy there, isn't there, in that?
Oh, yeah. Yes. We won't go there, as to say.
No, I don't go to your personal life, but a lot of tragedy. But,
not at all, no.
But so do you believe it was of any benefit to her when she was that young?
Not
if
at
you
all.
Can remember back.
Not at all. And certainly no benefit to my parents.
Of clearly not, no.
Quite often, like, I mean, he could do the Egon Rennie of the British prison system.
Yeah.
And he met quite a few of the, what would you call it, the well-known characters.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst inside.
Yeah.
And I mean, it just used to be like, I went to see him once.
Which prison was he in, by the way? Can you remember?
Which wasn't he in?
Oh, he was in a few of them. He was moved from prison to prison, right? Okay, that made it even more difficult for your parents, obviously.
Yeah, and I remember one of the times it was the Isle of Wight.
Okay.
So they were travelling from North London, where my family were living, you know, some of my sisters and that. And then they got the ferry over, got to the prison, and because he had misbehaved for some reason or other, drugs predominantly,
yep.
And like couldn't see him because he had misbehaved, knowing that they were going to go and see him.
A waste
and
of a journey.
Was going to see
yeah.
Him. Yeah.
And your parents would be, of course, in those days, they would have had to save up to go on those journeys. You know what I mean?
Oh, my mother used to get a loan from the credit union.
Yeah.
And then spend the rest of the time paying it back, working three jobs, and my father then doing all the extra hours. And I was saying it there earlier, like, cause I used to be in the bed and I'd be singing. I was always one of these children that, you know, was difficult to get to go to sleep. And it was that I used to be fretting so much because one of the times when Dad was away, my uncle died. And my dad then was, you know, he was kind of like gone up in the ranks and whatever. So he would have been first out, last back.
I do get you. And you know what? It's an intriguing story, Catherine, and I understand the damaging effect it had throughout your whole family and the torment it must have caused them at the time. Sadly, I'm running out of time and I have to go into the news, so I have to cut you a little bit short, which really breaks my heart to do that because it's an intriguing and interesting story and one that I suppose is completely relevant to what we're talking about today and how the damaging effects it can have to bring a child to prison to see somebody. But listen, thank you for sharing it with us, Catherine. All right, and have a good day. All right,
you're more than welcome. Have you too.
All right, there you go. There's Catherine, whose brother was in prison and jail in the UK, and her parents obviously went into a lot of trouble to make sure his daughter got to see him, and it didn't benefit her or him in any shape or fashion. But look, different strokes, different folks.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.